Hear the word of God. As it is written in the book of Genesis chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 5, which can be found on page 3 of the Pew Bibles. We hear a poetic account of the first day of creation as we knew it. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 14, which can be found on page 809 of the Pew Bibles. John expands on the role of Jesus in the creation story. John 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They were reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. When I was studying to be a Christian minister at Glasgow University, I came across a number of foreign students of other faiths like Hinduism, Islam, Sikhism, and Buddhism. In discussion, the primary thing they wanted to debate about Christianity was their belief that Christians worship three gods. I would then try to explain the Trinity to them, that the three gods they thought we worshipped were in fact just one God. I'd say something like, God is three persons and one being. God is one and yet three. The Father is not the Son or the Spirit. The Son is not the Father or the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father or the Son. But the Father, Son, and Spirit are all God, and God is one. So to sum up, one plus one plus one equals one. Simple. Perhaps it would be easier for everyone if God were a bit easier to peg down. But that's not what's revealed in Scripture. Here we have a hard to peg down God from the beginning of time, literally. The Genesis account does not say, "Let me make humankind in my own image."
but let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness. This is not a me God, but a we God. God from the beginning is not God of bad mathematics, but God as community, fellowship, family. In the church calendar, today is Trinity Sunday, a concept that is difficult to explain and to understand. And I don't think that anyone has ever found a good enough analogy that explains it to everyone's satisfaction. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And his disciples answered, "Some say you are John the Baptist, returned from the dead. Others say Elijah, or one of the other old prophets." And God asked further, "But who do you say that I am?" The leader of disciples, Peter, thought for a moment and said, "Thou art the Logos, existing in the Father as his rationality, and then by an act of his will being generated in consideration of the various functions by which God is related to his creation, but only on the fact that Scripture speaks of a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit, each member of the Trinity being co-equal with every other member, and each acting inseparably with and interpenetrating every other member, with only an economic subordination with God, but causing no division which would make the substance no longer simple." And Jesus heard Peter's answer. And Jesus said to Peter, "What? Several years ago, an interesting book called The Shack became a bestseller. It's now out in film, and I would encourage you to go and see it. The story was compelling, but one aspect of that book sparked discussion and disagreement among Christians. The author, William Paul Young, represented the Trinity in a very unique way. For God the Father, Young portrayed God as a large black woman who was outgoing, warm-hearted, and kind. For God the Holy Spirit, Young's persona was that of an Asian woman dressed in bright colours who seemed to dart in and out of sight in a kind of Tinkerbell-like fashion. For God the Son, the author pretty much stayed with the biblical stereotype of Jesus as a workman, complete with jeans, flannel shirt, and a tool belt. Each of these personas of God exhibited unique characteristics, and each had a specific role to play in the fictional story. But as creative as that portrayal was, Young's attempt to give the Trinity personality fell short of capturing the theology fully. The idea of the Trinity, the triune God, is a difficult idea to grasp. And it has been difficult for Christians from the early church down to the present one. Some attempts have failed gloriously. These imperfect attempts to define the Trinity became early Christian heresies, which is a doctrine or teaching that is incompatible with the church's understanding of Scripture. And the main heresy about the Trinity, although there are more, is modalism. Sure, you've heard of that word many times before. Modalism believes that there is one God who just appeared in three different roles or modalities as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit. For example, I am Les Brunger, but I am also husband to Carol, father to Ashley and Andrew, and minister to this church. So I am one person in three roles. But while this sort of gets at one aspect of the Trinity, it is actually a good example of the heresy of modalism. One God playing three different roles. In Matthew 3 it says, "After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This passage is one of the most significant in the New Testament regarding the doctrine of the Trinity, because in it we see all three of the persons of the Godhead together in one place at one time. And this disproves the claim of modalism, that God existed as Father, Son, and Spirit at different times and places, and that he might have been God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son in the Gospels, and God the Spirit in the Acts, and now in the age of the church. In our first reading from Genesis, we see the three members of the Trinity involved in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the Father, the Creator. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. God the Holy Spirit, the force by which God created everything that was hovering over the water. Then God said, "Let there be light." God the Father spoke, and there was light. God the Father used words. And as we heard in our second reading from the Gospel according to John, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God created everything through him. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. God the Son is Jesus, the Word made flesh. So we see that each part of the Trinity was there at the dawn of creation and the baptism of Jesus. All three are God, and yet each is a very specific person within the oneness of the Godness, Godhead. That is the essence of the doctrine of the Trinity. There is one God who exists eternally as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is one God who exists eternally as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is a central teaching, a core conviction of Christianity. In fact, it is one of the things that separates us from all the other religions of the world. The doctrine of the Trinity is at the heart of what we believe. So much so that Jesus commanded us to baptize his disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And part of our responsibility as followers of Christ is to understand the importance of this teaching and not to minimize it. We need to remember, in what is too often our haste to minimize the difference between us and others, that not everyone who talks about God means the same things as we do. People may use the word God, but mean someone or something entirely different to what we do. When they say God, people may be referring to some other so-called God, like Allah. But Allah is a God who judges people based on their works and who gave the Quran to Muhammad. That is not who we are talking about when we talk about God. This does not fit with the God of the Bible. When a person says God, they may mean the God of the Book of Mormon. But the so-called God the Book of Mormon describes was once a man who became exalted to the rank of God and got his own planet. And now you and I can follow in his footsteps and do the same thing. That is not the God our Bible describes. The Bible says that Yahweh is God from everlasting to everlasting. That means there was never a time when he was not God. When they say God, they don't mean what we mean when we say God. And when we say God, we do not mean some generic God who everybody can agree on, who doesn't give any specific qualities or attributes. When we say God, we mean someone very specific, When we say God, we mean the author of this book, the Bible. When we say God, we mean the man who died on the cross and rose again to life. When we say God, we mean the Spirit that exists in the world today. When we say God, we mean Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need to imprint that statement upon our minds. We need to teach it to our children in our homes and every member of our Sunday school. Because God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit models for us how a family is supposed to relate to each other and how every one of us is to treat other people in our relationships. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the perfect example of love. In fact, they have lived in perfect love relationship for all of eternity. God did not create us because he needed someone to love. He has enjoyed perfect love in the relationship of his Trinity for all eternity. He created us by his grace to give us the incredible privilege of entering into that perfect love relationship which he has already known for eternity. The most important question for you is not, do you have all this about the Trinity figured out and can you explain it to others intricately? Because none of us have. The most important question for you is, have you entered into that love relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Do you really know him? Not just any generic God, but the Father who loves you, the Son who died for you, and the Holy Spirit who for you at this moment is working in your heart, drawing you to himself and to God the Son and to God the Father, our great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, life without end. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, some things we struggle to understand. Some things we're not meant to understand fully. It's more about a kind of relationship with you, a poetic love, if you like. For you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have made yourself known to us in these aspects. Perhaps so that we could understand you better. Because you're way above what we can really comprehend. And so you had to limit what we could understand. Lord, may we always acknowledge the parts of you that you have revealed and to accept each and every one. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.